Well, this is sure to be an interesting episode.
I'm losing it!
Yes, this is I'm Losing It, and I am your host, Brian Kroc. I have somebody who is very special to me, actually. I know that sounds a lot sort of more romanticized, I guess, than what I would normally say, but... you know, everybody knows that Jessica was there with me through all of the other weight loss stuff, the 2 weeks of potatoes and all that. But I actually have brought on somebody else who was right there with me, literally next to me during the 2 weeks of potatoes at my job, at my office. And so I wanted to bring on the one and only John Okabenjian, master host of multiple shows throughout the time that I've been here at Lineup Media. But Jono, hi.
I couldn't have done it without you. I gotta say that right now. All those shows and the whole transformation of your body.
Yeah.
And you know what? At first, I was ripping on you a little bit, and then I said, you know what? He's serious. He's serious. He's doing it. He's losing it. And that might have even encouraged me to do what I did, too.
Yes. And so we're going to get to that in just a little bit with this interview here. But I wanted to bring you on specifically because you were there in the very beginning and you were there like for all of this. But what was your initial reaction when I told you that I was going to eat 2 weeks of plain baked potatoes?
Well, I asked you first. I go, what can we have on the potatoes? Nothing. Well, you mean you can't have we can't have butter? No, I'm not putting anything on there. And it was like you were just eating these like hypnotized your mind to where it was like muffins and hot dogs and stuff like that. And I'm like, this guy's actually doing it. And I was very proud of you.
Yeah. So the funny thing with the potato time was that after a while, I actually just started eating them cold because it was just easier to palate them at that point instead of like heating them up and doing that. But I actually really like there
was depressing.
It's a lot.
It's a lot worse.
So yes, that's what I wanted to get to. Is that you also at the time were a bigger guy.
I was a bigger guy.
And you were trying like different little things to lose weight. I know you kind of did a little bit of intermittent fasting and stuff. And you're like, actually, whenever you do a fast, I'm always amazed because you like put your mind to it and you're like, nope, fasting right now. Like, and then you did like 5 days. And I was just like, that is crazy, dude.
Yeah. But you know what? I got to tell you, I think not putting anything in my mouth for 5 days was easier to me than just sitting there eating potatoes. I don't know what the hell it was with the potatoes, but it was very difficult for me.
Yes. And so what happened was that I suggested to you, you know, like, 'cause you were like, I need to lose some weight. And I was like, well, have you tried 2 weeks of potatoes? And you're like, yeah, let's go ahead and try that one. And so you did it. And how long did you actually last on the potato diet, Jono?
I lasted close to 1.5 days. And the other half day, I took all the potatoes and I started throwing them at my family members. I couldn't take it. It was like, I don't know what it was, but I felt like I was missing something. And it's a tough diet. It's a tough diet. And you know, I tried the meat diet and... And the first couple days of that, the first 4 or 5 days, maybe 6 days of that, you're strong. And I think that fifth day, sixth day, you start missing the sweets. You start missing. Well, then you go to the Jell-O that's got the zero carb, zero fat. So zero carb, you don't care about the fat, but the zero carb on the Jell-O, it's okay. But man, you start missing the pastas, you start missing the cakes and stuff like that, and you start getting headaches after a while. And so, you know, there's a lot of formulas that you could go to, but the potato, I just could not relate to the potatoes.
Yeah, it was definitely an extreme thing to do. But You did razz me a bit.
Well, we had a pool. We had a pool at work here. We all the podcast co-hosts and hosts of different shows. I didn't tell Brian at first because I don't want to tick him off about it. But I kept going around. He's gonna break today, right? He's gonna break tomorrow. Well, I mean, we had a little pool going, and my God, man, you survived. You survived that, and then we moved on to a different pool.
So I just wanted to get to that because I've mentioned it before on the YouTube channel, and I may have mentioned it here before as well on this show. But one of the first things that I did is let me set up the stage here. So at the time, we were all in one big room. We call it the war room.
War room.
We were all together. Giano and I were sitting right next to each other at our little desks that we have. And behind us was a wall that you can mark on. It's like a dry erase kind of wall.
The entire wall.
And so there's a ton of stuff that was up there, you know, jokes and like charts and like all sorts of fun stuff. People that working on things. It was a really great way to sort of be like, here's what I'm thinking. And then you sketch out whatever it is that you were talking about. So behind my spot at my desk, I wrote down my starting weight. And I've said it before, 514.4 pounds. And I put the date down and then proceeded every week after that to do a weigh-in at home. And then I would have everybody like just see. They could just see it.
And we had money in a jar.
And so what happened was Jono started taking bets on what the number was going to be. And everybody had to put in a dollar if they wanted to play. And then we would mark down their guesses. And then I would write down the actual amount. Mm-hmm. And then supposedly somebody would win, and nobody ever guessed right.
Right, right. Yeah.
And so that money is somewhere.
It's in my pocket. Don't tell anyone though. Don't tell the war room people that I kind of took that. But yeah, man, you were incredible with that because you were tight-lipped, tight-sealed on that, and you did not let anyone know. And It was a pretty fun time there too.
It definitely turned my weight loss into a game, and it became something funny to do, especially when like I went on vacation and people then had to guess how much I gained.
Right. We would ask you what did you see? Where did you go eat? So we were on top of that too. Like Sherlock Holmes.
It literally got to the point where one of the coders was talking about having like an algorithm to try and figure out like what the next predictive weight would be, and it was absolutely hilarious, and I loved every second of it. But Jono, one of the reasons that I loved having you there is because you were the type of guy to like organize that into a game and like, you know, get everybody putting in the money, and like it actually made it really cool for me because it turned my weight loss not only into a game but into sort of a group activity that I got to share with everybody else.
Did it motivate you?
Absolutely, it motivated me because then I was like, well, I wonder how much I can lose the next week and keep people guessing. Can I lose even more than what I did before? And then people can be like really impressed with what I did.
Right, yeah, like I can see that.
It was that kind of a process for me, and I loved it.
What made you just decide to go on a diet? Because when you sat with me right next to me in the war room,
yeah,
before you went on the diet, you seemed very happy.
Oh yeah,
just being what you were. And when I took little shots at you, yeah, it didn't faze you at all. Then one day, it just happened one day. I mean, one day you just said, "Enough is enough. I'm losing this weight."
Well, I know for me, it was actually sort of about a 2 month process for when I finally got to that point. I knew that I was really heavy. I knew that I was really overweight, and that I didn't like being as immobile as I was. I wasn't immobile. I wasn't like bedridden or any of that kind of stuff. But it was annoying that I couldn't walk long distances. And I used to be able to do that. Even in like a really heavy state, I used to be able to walk like really long distances, and I couldn't walk as long a distance now. And it was also the fact that I kind of figured that I was getting to the point where all of this weight was really going to catch up to me and I was going to die. And so I was, it was like sort of a couple months of me just thinking like, man, I really need to change some things in my life, you know, try and figure this out so I can try and lose some weight, blah, blah, blah. And then the whole thing with the potato, the 2 weeks of potatoes came up after I watched a YouTube video. And then I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to actually go ahead and try this. I dragged my wife in the process and announced to everybody that I was doing this thing in the office. I did it at the radio station as well. And like all this kind of fun stuff, just sort of all built up. But you are right. Like I was happy pretty much with who I was, even though I was 500 pounds. And you remember me at that time. Like I was, I mean, like I was still pretty mobile. I was still able to get around and do stuff and all of that. And but
it seemed to me you were still very positive.
Oh yeah, always.
But I don't know how you were on the inside. On the outside, you were positive and you'd laugh and everything. We wouldn't sit there and make fun of you or anything like that. But it was like you knew you had the weight on you.
Yeah.
And then when you broke a couple chairs too. we said, you know,
sorry, Jim. Sorry,
you broke another chair, and it seemed like inside you just said, I like to change this.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely what happened. I just sort of got to that point where I was like, okay, I'm done with this. I'd like to live a different way. Yes, I did break chairs. That was I completely forgot about that. Actually,
I think three.
I definitely broke two. One of them being not mine, and then one of them was one of the other ones that was one of the older chairs that I broke as well. Yeah. But yeah, I was always pretty happy with who I was. I was always positive, and I got to give credit to everybody here at the office that, you know, if we do poke fun at each other a lot, like that's just a given in our kind of atmosphere that we have. And we have a very, very much like a club mentality when it comes to here. Like we're a group, we're a tribe, and we're going to mess with each other and make fun of each other. But at the same time, you guys never, ever made fun of me for my weight.
No,
you'd go after me for my, you know, the fact that I didn't care for sports. You'd go after me for my music or movie choices. Right. You go after me for politics or whatever it happens to be. But nobody ever made fun of me for my weight.
Your school that you were like five that graduated or something like that.
Like eight people graduated.
Right, and it's little stuff like that. And you know what? When someone's got down feeling inside, and we know when some. That's the thing about it, you know. If you were hurting weight wise, and I kind of felt how you did. I was overweight too.
Yeah,
and I was 317 pounds.
Wow.
When I was ripping on you, and I'm like, you know what? I know what the guy's going through on the inside. So
you know, I'm actually less than that now.
You are less.
Yeah,
than
I'm less than 317. So I actually weigh less now than your original like heavyweight.
Wow.
So let's actually get to that. You after all this time of me losing weight, you decided to lose weight.
Oh, and you were a big factor of me losing weight.
So,
and I'll tell you why, because you were losing weight, and I said, he's gonna catch me. And then you know what? Then he's gonna rip on me a little bit, and. You know, it became like a inside competition, but my knees. Well, I went down to Mexico.
Yes.
I was in Mexico and with my family, and I'm sitting around the pool, and my knees were hurting, folks. And I can't even stand up good because my knees, with arthritis now and with the weight, and it was just taking over. And I looked at my wife, and I said, enough is enough, and I'm gonna have that surgery.
Yes. And so you decided to actually get the gastric sleeve surgery, right?
Yes.
And I know, like, you talked with your wife about this. Your wife is a doctor. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she put you in contact with like the right people. And
Dr. Minkin, if you guys are ever interested in the St. Louis area for the right doctor, that's him. Dr. Minkin is the guy that, and you know what, I want a doctor. I want a human being that's going to be sitting across from me, treating me like a person and talking to me like a person instead of a robot. And that's who I ran into. And well, the rest is history.
Yes. Now, I do remember I was fairly tough on you because you know me, I'm not like a big believer in the surgery to you know, the gastric bypass or gastric sleeve or that kind of stuff. Like I just feel like people, you know, like should try and do it in a different way.
Right.
But I understand that that's not always an option for people. Like some people really feel that they need to get the surgery done. And I gotta say, like, it has worked extremely well for you.
Yes.
So what is your current weight like roughly now?
I'm 218 right now.
See, so there you go. So you've lost like 100 pounds.
I've lost 100 pounds and, you know, Brian, I tried cold turkey like you did.
Yeah.
I tried foods that were just supposed to be that type of food throughout, and that didn't work. I tried hypnosis. That didn't work. I went with the Atkins diet. Now it's called something else. It's
keto.
Keto.
Yeah.
Nice word. But I tried the Atkins diet. That didn't work. You know, I started finding excuses after excuses about the weight loss, and I never said it was my fault. It was always like, hey, you know what? If they don't have that late night on TV, that Pizza Hut commercial, I would have been asleep. Or, you know, enough is enough. So I my knees were giving out on me. My blood pressure was up. I was pre-diabetic. I mean, everything, like you said, was formulating to being in a coffin.
Yeah.
A big coffin. And I said, you know what? I got so much to live for still. I got two kids, and both, I'd love to see them graduate high school, college, and maybe grandkids and all that stuff. You know, down the line, that's the kind of stuff that I was thinking. And then I had the surgery, and people like you that didn't know really about the surgery that made it like a couple guys out there in the war room, that they said, you know, you took the easy way out. But to me, to this very day, I don't drink soda. And there's so many times I've craved soda.
Well, even more than that is beer.
Beer. At a hot day at a barbecue where I'm standing there with charcoal and all the guys have got cold Bud Lights or something like that, and there was a drip of that cold sweat coming off each bottle, and I've got water, or I've got some sort of a tropical punch drink, or I can't have anything carbonated, folks. I can't have mineral water either. I can't have Diet Pepsi. I can't have beer. It doesn't matter. Anything carbonated, I can't have. Champagne, whatever. Tonic water, all that's out the door for me for the rest of my life if I want to keep my stomach looking like this little table here, a little sleeve. I have to keep it like that because there's times I eat and the body says, you've had enough, and don't overpush it. And I think people want to push it. They want to say, you know what, today I'm going to eat. Today I'm going to have that soda. I can't do that. I fought too much to get where I'm at. Just like Brian, those potatoes weren't voluntarily just eaten there because he likes potatoes. He had to do it, and he did it, and God bless him. And that was the foundation, the blueprints to how far you've gotten right now.
Yeah. I know that, like, I mean, I can personally be against the surgery and all of that, but at the same time, I always encourage people to find whatever way works for them to lose weight. And usually that involves a diet, exercise, whatever it happens to be, whatever plan that they can stick to, that's the one that works. But I understand that that may not always be an option for some people who can't get over, like, some of the psychological hurdles of doing a massive diet change or getting out there and doing exercise. But I know you as well, since the weight loss, you went to the gym. I mean, obviously with the whole COVID thing going on, like, you know, maybe not so much, but you were posting pics of being at the gym and getting back into your old high school football day shape.
High school, college, I weighed 220, and then in the latter years, I just gave everything up and just started relaxing more. And that whole cliche, and I know everyone out there uses it, tomorrow. You know what? I'll start tomorrow. tomorrow I'll be on this diet. Today I'll eat this cake. Tomorrow I'm not going to eat that cake. Tomorrow I will. And folks, how many times are you, tomorrow's going to keep going? Tomorrow's going to keep going. We have to worry about today. And I tell you what, it couldn't have come in a better time for me. And I started walking a lot. I went to the gym. And then, you know what? The only one you're fighting is yourself.
Yeah.
That's it. And with you, fortunate enough for you, you have a wife that was going through the same thing. You guys pushed each other. For you folks out there that are single by yourselves and you don't have that person that's motivating you, I hope a show like this, that Brian's show, this podcast show or his YouTube channel, I hope you guys embrace it like he's a brother or a friend of yours that can help you out. Shows like this have got to be a game changer for people.
I've noticed, especially when it comes to like the comments that we get, the messages that we receive, that we we're making a difference in people's lives. And, you know, I was like, Jono, I know in my small way, I did actually help you get to that point where you started to lose the weight, or got the surgery so you could lose the weight. And, you know, even in a small way, I'm quite proud of that fact that I helped push you in that direction.
There's no question about it.
To get healthy. If
anything, you brought attention. You brought attention that we're not just going to sit around. You have a donut, couple donuts. I have a couple donuts. And then,
donut day was always rough in the office.
Right. And when we left that aspect alone, it was all good, positive.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Jono, I know we have not been talking. It feels like we've been talking for a while now, but we haven't been talking that long. But this has always been fascinating for me because here at the office, like, let's face it, it's, you know, you and me, like we're a team.
Well, we are.
We get stuff done. You know, we come up with all these really great ideas and we keep pushing.
We have great shows. You're my producer on two, three different shows that I have. And I got to tell you, man, I don't do good when I don't have you. I have other producers, but I don't relate to them like I do with you. And I feel with you, it's more I feel myself. I don't have to worry about what I say or anything like that. If I'm a little bit out of line, you let me know about it too, and which I appreciate. That's how it should be done.
I got your back. And you know what? You got mine too, and I know that. It's just the weird sort of relationship that you and I have when it comes to doing shows and even outside of that. So
I gotta tell the folks, I'm best friends with the owner of this place, and Brian came in for his interview, and this big guy looked like Sasquatch just walked in the door, and my buddy, he says, can you believe that this guy wants to work here? And I said to him, I'll never forget it, that's my guy. Without anything more, I said, that's my guy, and hire him, he's gonna be my guy. And And we've been together for what, 3-4 years now?
Three plus years now.
Yeah. So it was right there that I said that I there's some magic here. I don't know what it is, but it did formulate this how we look, how we function, what type of team we are, and everything. So there's a lot more to it. So
now the only thing left to do is to get you a YouTube channel so you can start raking in the views.
I'm all for that too. I really am.
Keep an eye out for that one. That'll be coming shortly in the future whenever we can get back into sort of a routine production schedule. But
yeah, we'd like to get something like that.
Yes. But Jono, thank you very much for coming on my show.
Thank you, man.
I really do appreciate it. I appreciate all the love that you've given me.
Right.
And the support that you've given me during my weight loss.
Vice versa, for sure. And I'd like to throw one more thing for the people out there, too. You've always got people that snicker behind your back. The people that always want to make fun of you, but these people right there, as with me and Brian, I mean, there's people out there that just want to hurt you. they are people that are not necessary in your life at all. I mean, you have a battle. You have a battle within yourself. You don't have to worry about anyone else, because right now you're in a situation where you want to lose weight. You're fighting yourself on that. You're fighting yourself sitting down watching TV late night with the Wendy's damn burgers and all that stuff. There's an inner conflict with you. Don't worry about the outside people. I mean, that outside people, they'll turn. I mean, I lost the weight. Guess what? Those people don't even talk to me right now. The ones that were ripping on me.
Yeah.
Because now they don't have nothing to rip on, and they're not, they can't exploit people anymore. So my point is, just fight yourself. And shows like this, if you got a good close friend that you feel comfortable with, share your feelings with them. But you know what? Other people, the hell with them. You need to fight this on your own and make this happen on your own. Because look at you, Brian. You're still not done.
Yeah, 200 pounds down, still going. So
that a boy. That a boy.
But that was a rally the troops kind of moment there, Jono. I liked that. That was really good. He does that from time to time when spirits are down here in the office.
Did we give up when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
We did not.
There we go.
But folks, thank you very much for listening. You can subscribe to the show and all the different places that you find podcast, Podbean, Stitcher. We're on Spotify and Google Play, all that kind of fun stuff. Also find us on social media. I keep saying us. Find me on social media, the I'm Losing It podcast, and you can interact with.
And give the guy a big thumbs up. Those really help out.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I think let's bring this one to a close. I have been your host, Brian Kroc. This is I'm Losing It. We will see you next time.
All right. Take care, guys.